So the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Is rain punishment or is it blessing? Is rain good or bad? What do you think? What? So, to a five-year-old, rain's not so good. For a drought, good. Rain's good. To someone drowning in a flood, not so good. For someone fighting a forest fire, good. Maybe it's just rain. Maybe what makes it good or bad is not the rain itself, but whether it's good for you. If it's what you want, good or bad from your perspective. Well, many of you know this story. It's Joshua Bell is one of the finest musicians of our time. He's not as good as Laura Chang, but he's good. And they did an experiment with him. They put him in a subway area and gave him a put on his baseball cap, obviously, and he opened up his violin case and took out his $3.5 million Strad, and he started to play music like this. Was playing, there was someone counting on a clipboard or something, and they said 1,097 people passed by while he was playing, and they say that 6 people stopped to listen, and most of those were kids, and they got moved on by their parents. This experiment raised several questions. In a less-than-ideal environment, in a subway, in the middle of rush hour, when we're trying to get somewhere, how can we perceive beauty? Even if we did, do we stop to appreciate it? Do we recognize the divine when it's unexpected? One possible conclusion reached from that experiment could be this. If we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing some of the finest music ever written with one of the most beautiful instruments ever made, how many other things are we missing as we rush through life? Where is our attention? Is our perspective blinding us? We learn from the past and we are rushing to the future. That's usually one of those is our perspective. The past and the future are important to think about. It is true that
those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Santanyaya Nana.
We need to be informed by history. And on the other hand,
we are made wise not by the recollection of our past, but by the responsibility of our future, Shaw. 1 Peter 1:4, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you.
So a healthy retirement portfolio is prudent. Fire insurance is prudent. And as important as all of this is, what might we miss on the way?
What is this life if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. W.H. Davies.
So what are we missing? What if I took the time to see, to experience the moment? Have you ever noticed something that you've passed by 100 times and all of a sudden you notice it? Bob Rotruck has. You ought to corner him sometime and have him tell you his story. I have too. The other day, I noticed the wood grain in this cross. Now, I've looked at Ralph Pippett's handiwork thousands of times, and all of a sudden I noticed the wood grain. And how alive that symbolic instrument of tortured death is. It's just a cross. There's one in every church you find. But suddenly I saw something I'd never seen before.
John 6, 42, New Living Translation. They said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?"
So, how can this kid, I know his parents, we bowl together, how could he be divine? It's just Yeshua, he's a kid. I'm waiting for the big deal, HaMashiach, the anointed one, to come and wipe out my enemies. Talk about missing something and passing by, just because he's a kid.
The greatest revolution of this generation is the discovery that human beings, by changing the inner attitudes of their minds, can change the outer aspects of their lives. Thoreau.
So how are you looking at things? What's your vantage point? And are you stuck seeing it in the same old way and missing the close divine? I love the question, where is God not to be found? We treat the world as if God only shows in the extraordinary, only if it is headline worthy. And the Bible is full of amazing, spectacular proofs of God's presence. We know that God is there when Jesus is walking on water. When there's a cure for something, no explanation for it. Lazarus, rise. Then we know God is there. When our football team wins, then we know God is there. Not biblical, it should be, I know. When the rainbow appears after 40 days and 40 nights of rain, then we know God is there. When there is a windfall, then we know. Proof positive. Positive proof. What if we also knew of God's presence by changing where and how we look for God, by seeing differently? By seeing with sacred eyes, by changing our angle, finding the divine in the least expected places, that could change my life. The Bible is also full of those at first not so amazing experiences. It wasn't so amazing. Well, they weren't expecting a Savior of the world to come and appear in a grungy manger. But that's where the King of Kings is found. Marketing messed up on that rollout. It's not so amazing. Jesus connected with the wrong kind of people. Not so politically cool. You know the list. Tax collectors, lepers, prostitutes, children, folks from the other party. Who would think to look into the eyes of the outcast for divine people? Did Jesus have a different viewpoint, a different way of sizing up a person's worth than we do? It wasn't amazing they killed Jesus. God then is found unexpectedly in death. His ignominious death is not what they were hoping for, but now it's victory in death. Unexpected resurrection from death. Boy, if anything is going to get my attention, that'll do it. We live as if the divine is only found in the miraculous. I sometimes heretically wonder if some of those miracles started as a quiet awareness moment, and they were catapulted into stupendous. The lowly manger scene is now a spectacle of gold. We tend to spruce things up. Why do we think, for instance, if we fly in an expert from the coast, that they know more than we do? Why do we think that a prophet from a far country is more credible? Y'all sit next to some amazing people, and we didn't fly them in from the coast. There are just some things that get our attention because they have pizzazz. And so we only notice the loud stuff. What would happen? What would happen if we changed our attention? How would things look? What would we see then? The idea of the loud stuff reminds me of a commercial on TV. It was 100 years ago when I was a kid, and it was a perfume commercial. Maybe you remember it. This model, this beautiful woman, comes out in a slinky black dress, and she looks at the camera and says, "If you want to get people's attention, whisper." I really like that commercial. But I digress. What if we looked for God in the least expected places? The hurricane that hit Hawaii, Lane, I think that was the name of the hurricane. And hurricanes are bad, right? All right, okay. There was a report that during the deluge, kids found a flooded field that usually was dry, and they were boogie boarding in it. That's looking differently at things. And others were surfing in a canal during the hurricane. Divine is all around if we would change the way we see. See like children. See the constant wonder. Do you watch kids? When they see something, it's like that. When we old people look at it, it's like, yeah, I've seen that before. That's how we do it. What if we saw like children, seeing it as if it's the first time or the only time, instead of just longing for the past or being worried about the future and spiritlessly passing by the now? What would change if we treated the mundane earth or the animals over which we have dominion or outcast people as divine creations? In other words, what would happen if we treated muskrats and Democrats and boredom as places where God shows up? That's not going to fly. No. What if we changed our perspective of divine presence, and what if we looked, here it is, with Christ's eyes? We talk a lot about being the hands and feet of Christ. What if we looked with Christ's eyes? What would he see?
2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
The air was brimming with possibility and soundless calm. Did you ever hear the still small voice before the sun rose, before the birds stirred?
In the still small hours of the morning, we look to the east and wait for the dawn.
It was chilly, and slowly I saw the hues come to life, and finally, explosion of gold.
Cool gray dusk to hard brush light set this sleeping sight aflame.
If I am awake, attentive, if I am watching with sacred eyes, God revises my sight. I keep lingering on my past sins, and I keep perseverating about down the road.
While we think of good old days and could be, we ponder memories and wait for our hopes.
I look back at the why can't it be like that anymore days. And will someone keep me safe and secure and warm tomorrow?
Between once upon a time and happy ever after, let this moment to your heart.
God is present now. Right now. Right here. We have the chance to touch grace. And God is here now, waiting for us to realize.
Warm this place with hearts of grace and leave the evil behind. For now, in this moment, God waits for us.
We are linked to God. You and I are God's creations. What if we took every single breath knowing that?
One life, one breath, one being. All is God's sweet dream. All live right now. All the way live like God's alive in you. Not past, not some future, but now.
When is the right moment to say something beautiful to you? And if I don't say it now, will I ever have that chance again?
When will be time to love you? When will I be back to this place I've never been? Will I pass by once? What good could come? Wake this spirit now. What am I waiting for?
I pass this way but once. Lord, I don't want to pass by the rich life that you are making here now. I've missed seeing the divine before. I've passed it right on by. Slow me down, Lord. Stop me. Hold me. Let this be our prayer.